You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
Welcome back. We continue a lot of conversation about this week in Washington. A number of major figures will be converging on the nation's capital for a couple of different events. Pete Thamel among them. He'll be at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Pete, great to see you. It is a big week, and we've been talking about this for some time. NIL, will anything happen from a congressional standpoint? I know you've got some details on what to expect. Good afternoon.
Paul, how are you? Thanks for having me. The details on what to expect are a start of a start, I think, if that makes sense. The Nick Saban and some other SEC coaches and a lot of SEC leaders are converging in Washington tomorrow. And the thought is there's going to be some groundwork laid for federal NIL legislation. Now, look, the only thing that works slower than NCAA enforcement is Congress, right? So I don't think by Friday we're going to have anything passed through. Even Nick Saban couldn't get Congress to work that fast. But I do think what we're going to get a feel for this week, Paul, is what interested parties want federal NIL legislation to look like. And the understanding is that there's going to be the education of senators and representatives from SEC states, intermingling with coaches and athletic directors, just to get a baseline feel for where college athletics is now and why change is needed. Remember, Greg Sankey at his heart, Paul, is a policy wonk. He comes from the compliance side of things. He's a believer in the NCAA generally. That's why he spent so much time on the transformation committee that didn't transform much. There's a belief of still that policy can guide the NCAA and guide college athletics through its next iteration. And I think we'll start to get some hints on what that could look like in D.C. this week.
Certainly, when you bring names like that to Washington, a town that likes celebrity very, very much, we know we'll see pictures. We know staff will yearn to get next to their favorite coach. But once everybody leaves town at the end of the week and all the panels slow down, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but what has changed is the ultimate question.
I think if politicians can see NIL as an easy win, as a win for college sports, look, there's no more partisan thing in any state than Old State U obviously there's some states that are split like Florida State, etc. But if you can galvanize college sports fans in your state, it's probably just generally good politics. So I would think that's one of the undercurrents here, Paul, is that politicians are not only looking for the photo op, but potentially passing something that helps save college sports as we know it and doesn't let college sports end up on the whipsaw of Supreme Court rulings and the impending California bill out west and all of these things that have dictated the future instead of college sports leaders themselves dictating the future. And this obviously collides with Charlie Baker. He's the two-term governor of Massachusetts who knows how things work in Washington. And I mean, he's not even going to be part of the NCAA office in Indianapolis. He'll go there occasionally, but he sees Washington as such a priority. That's where he's going to spend his time. So I just think there's been enough breadcrumbs dropped on where this thing can go to where DC is. They're going to attempt to make DC part of the solution. Certainly there's no guarantees and no one is confident, but that is where Charlie Baker is putting a lot of his time and energy. Clearly, Greg Sankey is starting to put time and energy there now. We'll see if there's a unification of their energies to push something forward.
Pete, I mean, I know what they say, but sometimes when you listen to a collection of coaches and administrators, you do shake your head going, what are they really trying to tell us? So They have one message, but it seems that often in conflict what the athletes want, which brings us to Congress. They're going to listen to both sides, but I don't know how much after the pictures, they're going to really care what a bunch of mostly men, but there'll be some women coaches there as well, say about NIL.
Yeah, Paul, I think it's interesting. I think when we're looking at the future of college sports now, it transcends NIL. I think in looking at it, it's that these are wonderful games with a terrible business model. And ultimately, that terrible business model needs to change. At most schools, that business model is one or two bell cow sports, football, in some places basketball, and there's a few one-offs, but it's mostly men's and women's basketball, and primarily football, probably 85% football, being the funding mechanism for all these other sports. The places that are trim in their athletic department, I believe, have 14 to 16 sports. The places that are big, robust athletic departments, the Stanfords, Ohio States, Boston College, they have up to 30 and maybe even more sports. So the model seems clunky now that the athletes are going to have to be compensated, whether that's directly or indirectly, collectives, NIL, etc. The money is rightfully streaming towards the people earning the money, the athletes earning the money. This has been long overdue since the conference TV network started and the television contracts went into the billions. The leaders of college athletics have managed to keep the money away from the star athletes. That's changing now. It's changing before our eyes. And I think the question when I talk to administrators that's looming now is, can this model still work where football funds softball, football funds baseball, football funds field hockey, soccer, etc.? I think that's the crossroads really that college athletics is at, Paul.
Pete, before you go, I know you and Reese Davis on the podcast talked about the future of college athletics. I'm really curious what it looks like.
Yeah, let me get my crystal ball out, Paul, here, and we'll tell you. Well, we did talk a bit about just how the funding needs to change or evolve. We also cast the entire Ted Lasso cast with college football coaches, which was mostly amusing. And once when you start talking about dense congressional things, you can't carry on like that for an hour and expect not to put your listeners to sleep. So we have a new podcast dropping today that touches on some of those things. But we really took a look back and peeled back the onion and said, okay, how can college sports work and work for everyone 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? How does the compensation model need to change? Do the non-revenue sports need to get uncoupled of conferences? Does Florida really need to play Texas A&M in non-revenue sports? The same thing, not to pick on the SEC, for Boston College and Miami or Washington State and Arizona State. Can there be some local things that make sense that cut down on the expenditures in some of these sports?
Pete Thamel, Mr. Thamel goes to Washington. We'll be eager to hear how that one goes later in the week. We take a short break here. More of your phone calls and more coverage of that NIL story later in the week as well. We are coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition.
Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Let us continue with more of your phone calls. It's been quite an afternoon so far. Len in L.A. is up next.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank
First
you.
First time call. Appreciate
Wonderful.
It. Paul, I'm going to talk about scheduling. I'm for 9 games. Of course, no divisions. I'd like to see each team play every other team once before it plays one again. Let the best record be the conference champ. If there's a tie and they did not play each other, then you'd have a more meaningful conference championship game. There's a lot of benefits to that, Paul. And, of course, there's something that I know our commissioner may not like. Maybe every 3 years, Auburn would not play Alabama, or Texas would not play Texas A&M, or Texas would not play Oklahoma. Ole Miss would not play Mississippi State. But that's once maybe every 3 years. But when you look at a schedule like that, you get away from these, you must play these 3 teams every year. You may leave a good weekend out. I know they're talking about Alabama not playing Tennessee. And, of course, good luck to the coach that gets Vanderbilt every year. But I just don't know whether that 9-game playing each one before you play another one twice is given enough consideration, if at all.
Len,
what do you think,
Paul? I don't think it's been given much because one thing about college football that is sacrosanct and that is tradition and those traditional games. And the commissioner already said the other day that we are not going to jettison the Alabama Auburns and the Mississippi Ole Misses and Georgia Floridas. They're a big part of the game, and I think fans look forward to them. And I think your plan is unique, but it's also doesn't necessarily mirror part of the attraction of college football, and that is the bellwether dates on the calendar. We know every Saturday after Thanksgiving what we're going to get, and it may sound old-fashioned, but it's part of the game that has stayed with bowl games far too long at the expense of a legitimate playoff. It's protected the Rose Bowl forever when it stood in the way of better matchups, but it's part of what college athletics is, like it or not. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Chris is up next. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are well. Thank you.
Paul, do you remember I called a couple weeks ago? We did the mental health check.
I do remember that.
Okay. I'm not going to throw you for a loop this time, Paul. I told the screener I was just calling to spread some positivity and some love, Paul, because, boy, what have we been talking about so far today? Politics and money. Oh, man.
Pretty depressing.
We can't focus on that, can we?
So Chris, how do we do a quick mental health check? Because I feel like I need one.
Oh, no, not a mental health check. Well, Paul, look at this way. The best way to do a mental health check is by illustrating positive feats. So let me tell you what I did this weekend, Paul, if I may.
Positive energy. Let's hear it.
So this weekend I drove, I told you I'm going through cancer and I'm in and out of chemo and all
right.
that. And that's great. Okay. Forget about that. So this is a good week, my up week. And so I drove to see my parents in Blairsville, Georgia. You remember my dad's a Florida State guy. I'm a Georgia guy. My sister's a Tech girl. My brother's an Ohio State guy. And all three of the siblings All of us, the children, all drove up to see my mom for her 78th birthday, and we had a couple meals together, and I do barbecue at the house. I brought barbecue back from Tennessee to there, and we got to spend some family time. Probably for the first time, we had two consecutive meals together, five people in the same room, in probably 40 years.
Oh, man.
If you really think about it, you know, since we all went off to college and whatever and whatnot, right? And so, my question for you, Paul, was, how is your family? Nobody ever asked you about your family. How are things in your life?
And things in my life are pretty good. Unfortunately, I don't have as big a family as you do, but the family I have, things are great. I appreciate you asking. Randy, your family okay?
All good.
Randy's good.
Good. I mean, you know, Paul, we talk about NIL and all these money things, and, you know, we don't talk about integrity enough. We don't talk about, you know, when you get in a situation where you get a chronic disease or whatnot, you start to think about those things and your perspective shifts, right? And you start.
So, Chris, tell the audience this, and I've been extremely blessed that, yeah, you have little things go that pop up, but nothing along the lines of what you're going through. As you're processing it, I don't even know if that's the right word. What do you start thinking about?
Well, see, I mentioned to you a long time ago. I'm working on a book concept, and that's part of the thing. So what I call, you know, so going through chemo is not easy, and there's all kinds of different types. There's chemo light and chemo heavy. I'm on chemo heavy, and I call it the roller coaster, you know, because you have good days and bad days. But I always try to focus on a few principles, you know, integrity, being of service to others. That's a huge one. And you wouldn't think that, you know, being in the condition I'm in, but it's a huge, huge thing. You know, if I can get out and help another person, it gets me out of my head. You know, even if it's, you know, the simplest thing you can do, next time you go to the gas station and you go pick up a soda, and the girl behind the counter or the man behind the counter, ask them how their day's going, look them in the eye, and listen. And then that will actually, you know, they'll look at you a little funny, right? Like, who is this guy? They may say, if it's you, they may say, hey, that's Paul Feinbaum. But if you listen, and they think that you're listening, it shows that maybe you care a little bit, and then listen to what they have to say. That little bit of difference in somebody's day.
Chris, I was listening to an expert, it was this morning, who had written a book. They had done, I think, six or seven generations of people in relation to what makes them happy, dealing with stress. And it was some PhD from wherever, or a doctor, I can't remember. And he said this. He said, one of the most important things you can do about feeling better about yourself is doing something just like you said for someone else.
Yeah, it's easy. Just say hello, open the door for somebody, have some manners.
Randy, I'm going to start speaking to you from now on.
I wish you'd be nice.
I mean, I've never spoken to Randy outside of the show, outside of the on air. So when I see you in the hallway from now on, I'll say your name.
Randy sounds like a very, very, very nice gentleman.
Don't get carried away here, Chris.
Are you guys coming to Nashville this year?
Nashville? Yes, we'll be there in mid-July for the SEC Media Days.
Really?
Really.
Oh, Paul, you guys got to let me bring you some barbecue. Do you guys like barbecue?
Yep.
Randy said yes. So what type of barbecue is your specialty?
Well, I do a little, like, Moroccan rub on it, and then I smoke it, and then I wrap it in the oven. Leave them there for a few hours. They do some brisket, too. That's kind of more of a pain in the neck.
Okay.
But you know, I make a really mean collard greens. I'm just letting you know. It's, like, pretty serious.
Are you in Nashville, Chris?
I am. I'm actually about 50 miles from the Parthenon.
Okay.
I'm outside of Nashville, about an hour. Suburbs. I'm in the country.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, we still have about 6 weeks to go, so let's talk before we get there. And I don't know if we'll be there other than that. We were in Nashville last year. We don't always go to the same place every year, but I know we'll be there for 4 days starting the 17th of July.
How many people do you got on the crew? 20, 30?
You know, we're talking about a massive amount, so you might want to rethink your offer.
No, I've been, you know what we did during COVID, me and a buddy of mine, and I worked for a large healthcare organization. We went to all the hospitals, not all of the hospitals, but several of our facilities, and we fed frontline workers. We did 100 to 150 people on the weekend just to let them know what? That we cared.
Well, Chris, I'm going to take food out of the mouths of our crew for this reason, because they bring food to them all the time. I would rather you give that food to someone who desperately needed it than to a group of people like Randy behind the camera, who just been out in the main lobby getting free food that they brought, and then he'll take your free food. Right, Randy?
That's right.
Don't you think, I mean, don't you agree with me?
Yes.
Paul, there's plenty of food to go around.
Okay.
You know, if we can work it out.
The crew is not going to be happy with me for giving away their barbecue.
I mean,
I've done countless shows, and somebody will bring food, and I mean, I'll be, you know this, and I have no problem with it, but I'll be doing a serious topic, and the camera guy's like eating some pizza on a Friday afternoon. I'm like going, it's 4:30 in the afternoon.
Paul.
And I asked him, what's the deal? He said, they brought it.
You guys don't get lunch? You guys got to have like a little bit of lunch.
Well,
break,
no,
right?
One good thing, many good things, but one of the, they do provide food for the crew.
Yeah, but it's not my barbecue.
They don't provide it for the talent, but they provide it for the crew.
I'm telling you, Paul, I'm serious about my barbecue.
Okay.
You know? But Paul.
Well, regardless of your barbecue, I want you to come down and meet us.
I would love that, Paul. I would love that. I would love that. I get kind of nervous, but
no.
Should I ask you a football question? Do we have time?
Of course.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm a Georgia guy, right?
Right.
And I'm all about the best team's going to win. You know, if you recall, I was actually in the hospital during the Ohio State playoff game with Georgia, right?
Right.
And, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. The nurses had to come down and shut the door because I was making too much noise. I warned them. But, you know, so I got through that. It was a good place to be in case I, like, seized or something because of the game and almost did. But anyway, so here's the thing. Everybody talks about Saban being the best coach, which I think right now he is the best coach. But what's the measure of the best coach? Is that having that many national championships or – in my opinion, is it taking 2- and 3-star players and getting them to the NFL versus 5-star players? And has anybody done a study on those analytics? Because I'm sure they got it tracked somewhere, right?
So, somebody would. I think that's a fair – I will see if we can dig into that. Chris, thank you. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks when we see you in Nashville. Thanks for the offer. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Continuing here with more phone calls. Bubba is in North Carolina.
What's shaking, Paul?
Bubba.
Randy. Hey, you and Randy's like a Batman and Robin of college football, dude. I love it.
Randy.
Hey, what's up with all these guys? Hey, what's up with all these guys calling in wanting you to endorse these books they want to write?
I don't know. This guy a few minutes ago decided that because somebody did a term paper on him 40 years ago that might make a good book.
Yeah, I don't know if it's somebody's just or something. I don't know what's going on, but the last few days, it seems like everybody calls in, has got a book, and wants you to endorse it. But I got a great idea for a book, and I know who should write it. The guy just called in about how to deal with stress.
Yes.
I think we need to get John Daly to write a book on coping with stress and get you to endorse it, and I think it'd be a bestseller.
It's interesting, Bubba, in the book world, the non-traditional books often break out, that like that one. People, there's only so much you can read about politics and world history and former presidents, but books like that sell.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of books that are not so serious on the lighter side tend to be, something people like to read, not only entertainment, but... also it can be factual, a lot of factual stuff, but I will have to agree with Jim yesterday, though. He made a good point. You do need to write a book about this show.
I really start thinking about that before
you hang up the glasses.
Yeah, I do not want to do another book on college football. There's too much of that. I mean, it's just nothing really that compelling. Maybe at some point, I'll do it all, former – whatever do, and they spend 5 years working on the definitive history of whatever. But I think this show needs a new book. And who's going to be willing to stand up and do it?
Absolutely. Before you hang up your glasses, you need to write a book about this show. I'm sure Randy would even help you co-write it.
Randy, what do you think? Would you buy it? Would you participate?
Sure.
Behind the scenes. Okay, so Bubba, help me, because what do you want to know that you don't already know about this show?
Well, the biggest thing you got to do before you do anything, you got to consult with Jim and determine which page numbers he wants to be on.
You think?
But you got to determine if are you going to do a chapter on Jim, a page on Jim.
Well, what about this? What about a book on Jim?
Well,
and the name of the book is this, Jim is Next.
I didn't want you to write a John Carpenter book, but it's your book.
Okay. Well, you only have one shot at a book like this. Well, two shots since I've already done one.
I think I couldn't make it all about Jim, I don't think. It might be limited sales on that one.
Well, I mean, the previous book was really about the old show or what you hear. There's never been a book about this show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd go over really well. I was glad to see Legend came back from sabbatical from the Culinary Institute. He's taking up a new career. He might give Gordon Ramsay a run for his money.
I think he will. Hey, Bub, thanks. And thanks for the suggestion. Rick is up next in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you.
So, I don't know if this is funny or not. It was funny to me. I tuned in Friday for the last hour after the LSU game, and you went, and here's Rick from Houston. And I'm like, I'm not on the phone with Paul. But then the guy turned out to be an LSU fan and argued with you for a few minutes how about LSU should be a blue blood, and that kind of cracked me up. But I wanted to ask you about 2025. Do you think that Nick's going to get his way and get out of playing either LSU or Tennessee on that nine-game 2025 schedule if we get nine games?
I don't think he's going to get out of it.
I hope he doesn't. I'd hate to see either game dropped off. And I wanted to ask you a question about your interview with Kirby last week on the beach. Kirby was expounding about some of these state laws that have gotten passed on NIL and complaining about how he wants it to be a fair and balanced playing field, and that just really, really kind of cracked me up as well, considering that he's got the powerhouse team and gets everybody he wants, and I don't know, it just seemed a little disingenuous to me. I wanted your opinion on that.
Rick, thank you. I know what you're talking about. I think he was sincere about what he said. That's just who Kirby is. He's very passionate, and he doesn't think about himself as being entitled, unlike some other coaches. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Logan is in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
Very well.
Great to hear. I missed the show. I just got out of work, but I was I told you I got a new job. I didn't tell you that it was in Alabama, and I moved back to Alabama.
Did you really?
And yeah, I'm back in Alabama now.
Where in Alabama?
I'm down in the Wiregrass, so really down there where nothing's going on, you know.
Okay.
Out there in the desolate, the plains, I guess they call it. But I just got back here. I moved from here when Don Siegelman was governor, and the only reason he ran for governor, you know, you probably remember this, was because of the lottery, and then everybody voted against the lottery. So it's like, why did you put the guy in office? But I just got back down here. I noticed this. We got this hayseed Tommy Tuberville down here now, serving in the honor of Trump. And it seems like am I correct? Is he on the panel for this NIL that's going on this week?
No, Tuberville. Now, Tuberville will be part of the SEC contingency. There's another event on Thursday that will have the NCAA president. We'll have Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the ACC. He's not part of that.
Okay, gotcha. But, I mean, they are trusting this guy. I mean, he is part. They said they brought him in because he had expertise, obviously. But they're respecting him. He's already pissed off the whole United States military, and they're respecting this guy to get consensus on NIL?
Raised an interesting question, Logan, and it's not discussed a lot, but a year ago, and I mentioned very boldly that I was up there and I saw him and other people, and he was at the vanguard of the NIL front. Now, things have changed. I mean, he has said and done a lot of controversial things, and there are some people inside the college football community that will probably not want to be seen next to him in Washington. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm not going to speak out of school here, but just keep your eye on that story.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I was like, if we're basing our hopes on this guy, I think everybody.
Well, one thing about Tuberville, he understands college athletics,
right?
But he also
I'll give him that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question, he will be, and he's been involved with Joe Manchin in trying to get this bill passed. But I think that the Tuberville from a year ago had a lot less baggage than the Tuberville of today.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was just my concern, Paul. Thanks for clarifying that. I had heard something that he was called in as a special. He wasn't on the actual the panel, but he was called in as a
I mean, you can't help but consult with him. But I would.
Right.
I think Joe Manchin is. Remember, Joe Manchin was Nick Saban's best friend growing up. So.
Right. And
you
he
know
holds a lot
that,
of power.
That Saban has been calling Manchin on top of Tuberville. But there are many other senators involved. Mitch McConnell has been involved. Countless others have been involved.
Okay.
It's just a matter of what they want to do with it once everybody leaves.
Yeah, well, I hope they can get some kind of consensus, because Manchin's a good guy to have. He's a Democrat in name, but, I mean, maybe he can pull some strings and get something going. So I would put a lot more faith in him than I would in the Alabama senator.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of criticism. No, don't forget Katie Britt, the other Alabama senator, is married to a former football player, so she is acutely aware of the NIL dilemma as well. A lot of folks are, and we'll find out more tomorrow and Thursday. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, and Bob is up next in Fort Worth. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, hello, Paul. Good afternoon. How you getting along?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, I was watching last week when you was in Dustin. And to a man, everybody you interviewed, ADs, presidents, coaches, all talked about they was in favor of the 9-game schedule. What I was wanting to know is how do you go from there to walking in a single meeting and coming out with an 8-game schedule? Did I miss something somewhere?
No, you didn't miss anything. Ultimately, the presidents are the ones who vote. And
well, wouldn't you think the presidents would go along with their coaches and ADs?
In most cases, you are correct, but not perhaps in all cases. So I heard while we were leaving that there were 9 schools in favor of 8. I don't think they're hard to figure out who they were. Now, we're talking about 9 out of, I believe, I'm trying to remember if I would think the Oklahoma and Texas would have voted. So they're part of the decision.
No, I wouldn't think that.
Well, they would be part of this decision. So I think they would regardless, I think there were 9 in favor of 8. So that, you know, whether it was 14 or 16, it's still a majority.
Well, I just like, and then you hear, you know, and Saban changed horses in the middle of the stream.
Well, but Bob, that's the one that you have to focus on. I think Saban tipped the balance, and not so much only because it was a single vote, but Saban's not a singular vote. Saban carries a tremendous amount of weight. And by switching, I think he gave cover to some of the other conference members who were against. I mean, A&M was against, was in favor of 9. Kirby Smart said he was in favor of 9, so we know those two. A couple of other ones were LSU. We talked to both the coach and the AD. But what we didn't hear from a number of other schools. So we had the Mississippi State president. I don't think I specifically asked him because we were talking about some other issues. But the other president we had was Jerry Moorhead from Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I noticed you didn't have Nick or Jimbo interviewed on there them 2 days.
Yeah, Jimbo was scared. Here's the deal on Jimbo, Bob. Jimbo had to leave early. I don't think we said this last week, but we can say it now. His son has a very rare condition, and he had an appointment the next day.
I'm aware of it.
So Jimbo had to go to Mayo Clinic, and that's why we didn't see him on Wednesday. Hey, thank you very much for the call. It's a good question, but. And remember, the SEC doesn't reveal the vote. They said it was unanimous. What does that mean? That means on the actual vote, everybody said we're good because the SEC is a big believer in that. Lawrence is in Virginia. You're on the air. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Paul. How's your day going?
Very well. Thank you.
Yeah. I have a modest proposal for the SEC scheduling kerfuffle. Why not in 2-4 and 2-5 give each school the option of playing a 9th conference game, and then in 2-6 everybody goes to 9 conference games?
It's an interesting option, and if you go back deep into SEC history, there have been additional. Alabama and Ole Miss used to play every year when it was not a conference game. I think the ACC did this a couple of years ago as well. North Carolina played one of the – they played Wake in a non-conference game. It could. I don't think it will happen, but it's an interesting. I think we're going to see that move very quickly. I think we'll see 9 for 25. Thank you very, very much for the call. Braden is up next. Hey, Braden.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Appreciate the call.
Yes, I was just calling because my buddy and I seem to disagree on what Joe Milton will do this year, and we agreed the best person to ask was either you or Josh Pate, and your show came on first, so I decided to give you a ring.
Well, I think he's going to be good. I think based on what everything I'm told, and I don't know any more than what we're told, you know, he's got tremendous experience, and I think the rap on him as well, he's been to two different places and it hasn't worked out. Well, so what? He's much older, he's much more experienced, and mm-hmm. he has Josh Heupel as his head coach versus yeah. Jim Harbaugh, and that's night and day in my mind.
I agree. I just know Heupel's system makes players look better than they actually are. This is his third year in the system. I don't think – I could be wrong, but I don't know if Heupel's had a quarterback with the arm talent Milton has. And I don't know if this stat's correct, but I believe he's – in Heupel's system, we've thrown like 71 touchdowns to like 6 picks. I mean, he just makes quarterbacks look amazing.
Braden, thanks for the call. We head to the second half of the show right after this. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.